on KKXX, 9:30 a.m.
30-million-year-old hummingbirds? Hear the story next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment host, Ian Taylor.
Today, hummingbirds are found only in North, Central, and South America. Of course, since Noah's Ark landed in the mountains of Ararat, they had to cross Europe and the Atlantic or Asia to get there. However, until now, there was no evidence for this migration. Scientists have now discovered two hummingbird fossils in a clay pit in southwestern Germany. These tiny fossils are remarkable in many ways. Until now, evolutionists claim the earliest hummingbird fossils to be 1 million years old. The new fossils are said to be 30 to 34 million years old. And while we would not agree with the evolutionary dating, we would expect the hummingbird fossils in Europe or Asia to predate those in the New World. Even more interesting is that the fossils suggest that these older birds are fully functional hummingbirds. Their wing bones are like those of modern hummingbirds, which suggests that they could hover and fly backwards just like the hummingbirds we know today. Their beaks were twice as long as their skulls, suggesting that they drank nectar just like modern hummingbirds. In other words, there was no sign of any evolutionary development, another fact we would expect. And while the evidence for the history of hummingbirds is what we would expect, we do not need specific scientific evidence to uphold scriptural truth. We have God's word on it.
For more information, visit us online at creationmoments.com. You'll find both written and audio transcripts, creation-focused articles and Bible studies, and many other resources, all at creationmoments.com.
Here. You know, I've been all around this planet and I've seen all kinds of water, but I couldn't wait to get back to my place at Mount Shasta, back to the best tasting water. In case you didn't know, it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled right at the source. So it's like we're delivering the whole mountain right to your door. But it's just the water. Call 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Young or old. Black or white or anything in between. From employees to entrepreneurs, doctors to detectives, some things define us and set us apart, but there's one thing that binds us. Before anything, we are one thing. Born to be Americans, proud to be Americans. Our United States are our united fates. Know your Constitution.
Unity, it's an American thing. From AmericanThing.org.
Your greatest achievement is your family. You worked long and hard to grow your dreams for the ones you love, knowing their wishes will be honored should the unexpected happen. Introducing Caring Wills and Trusts from the law offices of Lawrence Puritz. Let us customize your will and trust now for your family's needs tomorrow. Call now for a free consultation. Caring Wills and Trusts. Take care of your family today to provide a better tomorrow.
Call 343-0500. Online at caringwillsandtrusts.com.
How long? When does God, you know, step up to the plate and deliver the goods? That's what we're talking about right now. Because I think we pray and we say, God, you know, my will is in sync with your will. You know, and I know that you want what I want. You want what's best for my family. You want what's best for my son or my daughter or my wife or my husband. I know you want that. So why won't you make this happen? And so we ask ourselves, how long? And that was the sermon on Wednesday over at Redeemer Lutheran Church. Pastor Brennan DeForest gave it on Wednesday, and I was there, and it was a wonderful sermon. And I'm hoping Pastor could share a little bit more with it. First of all, good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was really touched by it because I know that in all of our lives, is it fair to say that in all of our lives, we are asking God for something?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, but sometimes it doesn't happen.
Sometimes it doesn't, no.
What's the key to having your prayer, first of all, a prayer that's answered, not necessarily We'll get to whether or not it's a prayer that he might agree with, because, correct me if I'm wrong, a prayer, your will has to match
his will.
His will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But even in an instance like that, sometimes he may say, well, our wills match up, but I'm going to make you wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or our wills match up, but I'm going to say no, and it's going to be for your greater good.
That's
hard to understand.
It is hard to understand. I know that I've been praying for something, and I'm getting impatient.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, is it okay to be impatient with God?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
He understands.
Yeah.
But
that's the part of being in relationship with Him. If it wasn't a relationship, if you weren't getting impatient with Him, it wouldn't be a true relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you say somebody prays. We all know that if you pray for a Corvette or to win the lottery, that's probably, you know, maybe it is God's will that happens,
yeah.
You know, but chances are it's probably not.
Yeah.
But it might be. You never know. But if your will is, you know, I want my children to grow up in a good environment. I want this marriage to work out. I want, and because I know you want that to work out, but could you make this happen? And it doesn't happen as quickly as we want.
Right.
That's where we get to the question, how long?
How long? Yeah. Yeah. And that's where David was at in Psalm 6, which is what the sermon was based on. He gets to the point of, right there in the middle of the psalm, verse 4, he's just, he can't even finish his sentence. He's just saying, oh Lord, how long?
Uh-huh.
And God just knows.
Right.
And sometimes we're just so desperate, we just get to that point of, we can't even finish our sentence.
But it becomes a real test of faith though, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I could see where people say, you know, I'm impatient. You know, mm-hmm. there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm praying for something that's really noble,
mm-hmm.
and I'm praying for a stronger faith. I'm praying for this temptation to subside. I don't want to have this temptation. You don't want me to have this temptation.
Yeah.
So if I don't want this temptation to get angry, I don't want this temptation to eat or to look at something illicit that I shouldn't look at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take these drugs. I don't want this. I know that's your will too. Since that's your will, and that's my will, mm-hmm. why don't you make it happen?
Right, right. Or I even think about good things that we pray for, like,
mm-hmm.
like, God, if you could just convert the entire world to Christianity right now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, surely that's His will.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen, so.
That's the challenge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think with the good things, you know, making us wait teaches us patience. It's even though it's a good thing and we're waiting for it, I think usually with a good thing, we don't always fall away from God as easily. So it just teaches us patience, kind of strengthens our faith. With the bad things that we don't want to do that God still, it seems like He's waiting on, that's when we may fall away and we need to rely on others. We need to, we just need to continue to be strong in faith.
Patience is a great virtue,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very difficult one. Much because I think we just think, oh, patience, you know, that's not a big one, but that's a hard one.
Yeah.
You know, let's say you have a man that's out of work, and he can't find a job, and he's like, God, it's not like I want this job because I want to glorify myself. It's
sure,
not because
yeah.
I want greed.
Yeah.
It's because I want to be able to make some money to take care of my family, give to the church,
yeah.
to give my
yeah.
tithing. And so my motivation is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure that you want me, and it's not like I'm going to go buy, you know, fancy new wardrobe
right.
or do something.
Yeah.
I would use it just for the things that you want, you know, give us our daily bread.
Yeah.
And I think, and I understand when people say those prayers, and God doesn't deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that I understand where people could say, well, your will is pure,
mm.
your will is in sync with His will.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't He doing it for you?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
that you know, and that's where people say, well, you know what? Maybe God doesn't. Maybe there is no God.
Sure.
Maybe we're all just on our own.
Well, and that's like, I mean, that's the devil talking through those people, I'd say,
right.
tempting you away. Instead, you should have people who would come alongside you and be like, man, I don't understand either, but I'm here with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, teaching us to be in relationship with others.
Tell me more about your. We have only 30 seconds left in this. what ignited your this sermon that you wanted to give? Was there something in your life or something that you thought, you know, I need to bring this out? Why?
You know, as I was preparing it, that those words, "how long," just kept coming back to me. And, you know, honestly, I really, when I was writing, crafting this sermon, I really didn't like it. I really kind of hated it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it wasn't going to go over well.
No,
so I've been amazed. You and several others have told me it's probably one of the best ones I've given.
It really was. In fact, if you look at the timestamp, as you were giving the sermon, I sent, "Very good sermon. Please bring a copy of it to the next show,"
yeah,
because it really had an impact. We're going to take a break, continue talking about how long do we wait until, you know, God delivers the goods and gives us things that we need in our life. That we think our will matches with his. And why is he taking so darn long? We'll be right back. Scuttles down on the cabin wall, and all of these spirit
voices. Tune in weekdays at 7:30 for Focus on the Family here on KKXX.
Young or old, black or white, or anything in between. From employees to entrepreneurs, doctors to detectives, some things define us and set us apart, but there's one thing that binds us. Before anything, we are one thing. Born to be Americans, proud to be Americans. Our United States are our united fates. Know your Constitution.
Unity. It's an American thing. From AmericanThing.org.
Unearthed from beneath the sands of time, there are ancient writings containing ageless wisdom. Millions are finding these words are life-changing even today. Listen and discover ancient wisdom. One of the most well-known commands in the Bible is that we are to take one full day of rest each week. Isn't it odd that God would have to command us to do something that is good for us? Yet in our hard-working society, it's starting to make sense. Americans work more hours than any other developed country. We also have more stress-related illnesses and heart problems than any other developed country. More and more studies are coming out that show the incredible benefits of taking one full day of rest each week. Thousands of years ago, God commanded that we take a complete day of rest, and now many studies are reaffirming the amazing medical benefits of getting plenty of rest. More ancient wisdom from the Bible that the scientists and the world are finally catching on to. This ancient wisdom is brought to you by Biblica at Biblica.com. You're listening to Live Radio, KKXX AM and FM.
I'm with the Reverend Brendan DeForest of Redeemer Lutheran Church. They have a service time at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and they also have Lent services on Wednesday at 12 noon and also at 7 p.m. And on last Wednesday's service, Pastor DeForest gave a sermon on how long. And it's a wonderful question, because we ask God for things that we think he would want us to have. You know, not for, you know, any purposes of sin, for greed or anything, or avarice or avarice or anything like that, but because we're looking, you know, we want to do something good for our families. We want to, you know, and God just doesn't come through. You're telling me that that there were some people, that there was one person in the when you were giving the sermon that had started to cry a little bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now, was that because they had a bad contact lens, or was it because of your sermon?
Because of the sermon, he said. Yeah.
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 And I did too, because, but it was, and it was because of the message, but it was also because I think all of us are in that place, aren't
yeah,
we? And,
yeah.
And the person who was probably weeping a little bit was probably thinking about something that he or she was praying earnestly about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was waiting for an answer that would be pleasing to him or her.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, that's the setting of the Psalm 6 itself. King David has committed some sin, and he's earnestly praying in this psalm for God's mercy, and God isn't allowing it to happen yet.
That's a great story. How is it that David knew that God was not answering his prayers at that point? What was happening in his life?
It was actually, he said in like verse 3 of the psalm, that his bones are failing him. His body is even experiencing some physical effects. So he knows God isn't answering, because he's experiencing like actual physical effects on his body from this sin that he's committed.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he hadn't repented yet of this sin, and the physical effects made him realize it's time to repent. Or maybe he had been and God was still trying to teach David something. This isn't the David and Bathsheba story. This is another sin that David committed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, David's a great example for us, a man after God's own heart, but he still sinned like all of us.
Right. How do you fight the impatience? When somebody comes to you and says, I think, doesn't God say that he will never give you a test too great that you won't be able to handle?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He'll always give you, I know in Corinthians Paul talks about in every temptation he provides the way of escape. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, somewhere along there, no test that you can handle. But Paul says in Romans, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And so, if somebody's impatient and keeps on and is praying to God, usually it does no good to tell them, well, just keep on praying. You know, mm-hmm. God hears it. He'll answer someday. That's not helpful. Instead, walking with them, being with them, praying for them, and continuing to read scripture with them.
In this time of the Lent season, when it's really focuses on repentance, do you think repentance takes work?
Sure. Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think. I think we Christians think we just give a, I'm sorry, I feel bad, mm-hmm. please forgive me, and I think that we feel that's good enough. Not that we're supposed to earn our forgiveness,
right.
or earn our salvation, but does God want us to work through it a little bit more? Maybe he wants us to suffer. Maybe he wants us to feel guilty. Maybe he wants us to say, you know what? I want you coming to me not just once and thinking, lickety-split, mm-hmm. you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Maybe what he wants is, I want you to come to me morning, night, and day.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe he wants us to work through that guilt and that shame.
Because, he talks all in the Old Testament prophets about the people who were just going through the motions. Mm-hmm. And we still today, especially with repentance, it's like, oh, yeah, I committed this sin. I'll just say I'm sorry to God and ask for forgiveness. And that's just going through the motions. And so, yeah, sometimes these psalms, sometimes things that happen in our lives do help us re-realize the depth of sin. Repentance shouldn't just be going through the motions, but it should be, wow, I was damned by God,
Right. Yeah, and we were talking about things that are happening in the news where people commit sins and do wrongs, and I don't want to pick on anybody. That's not my intent at all. But there was the case of Fannie Willis, and thank you, Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. And you probably might be following that story, and you're probably not, but she's the district attorney in Atlanta that is. I was involved with an affair, apparently, with Nathan Wade. You probably remember this. This. It's been in the news a lot lately, but I've seen this so many areas in for instance, in the sports world where somebody does something mm-hmm. wrong. They take steroids. They gamble on the game and they cheat the game. They cheat the sport and instead of just acknowledging it, Pete Rose comes to mind, and I think, wouldn't it be better if they just confessed what they had done is wrong and plead for forgiveness? But we don't do that many times. A lot of people just keep digging the hole deeper and deeper.
Yeah, yeah. The psalm that's coming up for this Wednesday, Psalm 32, King David talks about, your hand was heavy upon me. And then he goes to the whole congregation, the whole assembly, and he confesses whatever sin he's committed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're going to talk about on. Well, I guess when this show airs, it'll already be passed. But.
Right. Okay. Because this is airing on Friday,
on Friday,
and that sermon will be taking place on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We are going to take a break right now. Continue talking about the Lent season, the importance of repenting, and sometimes how we struggle with repenting and acknowledging our weaknesses. And we'll continue our discussion with the good Pastor Brennan DeForest of Redeemer Lutheran Church when we come back. We'll be right back.
Falcon calls, a lime green lizard scuttles down on the cabin wall, and all of these spirit voices.
America bless God.
Fellow Americans, your hearing this admonition establishes that you are one who cares for the America that has been so blessed by Almighty God. We implore you to embrace the laws of nature and of nature's God, to read and know the Constitution. Join with other moral and religious people and organizations to foster the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. America, bless God.
What does the Bible reveal to us about God's timeline for the future? Can we really know how the world is going to end and whether or not we'll survive it? Be sure to listen when Chuck Swindoll presents a clarifying study in the mysterious book of Revelation, Friday on Insight for Living.
You're teaching and talk for real life.
Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
This is Live Local.
I was watching, I was reading a debate online on Facebook, and it's usually the atheists against the believers, and go back and forth it goes, and I try to avoid those things, you know. I might put a like button or something, but it's best not to comment. And one of the questions came down to what's the difference in certain terms of morality? And I want to tread very lightly here. For many Christians, it has to do with having a conscience, and not that atheists don't have a conscience. They do, of course, but the fear of trying to, I'm not sure I'm trying to say here, but the guilt and the shame that comes because we have a God that we feel we have to answer to, and the idea that it's really difficult to be a Christian in that sense, that living life on earth is so much easier if you're a non-believer.
Yeah.
You don't feel guilt.
Yeah.
I've got no consequences. I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I shouldn't say that, because the atheist would say, no, we have conscience. We don't want to cheat on our wives. We don't want to cheat on our husbands. We don't want to steal. We have morals too. But for some reason, when you feel like you're talking, you have to answer to God, for some reason, it's a greater responsibility. I'm with the Reverend Brennan DeForest.
Yeah, you look at more godless nations, and there's a lot more of that depravity going on. The depravity of man is just incredible.
Well, it's coming to the United States.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Well, it's already here. The depravity is already here.
Yeah. But you look at any Christian nation, and generally, there's still depravity, but generally, there's less because that holy fear. When we talk about like the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. I mean, that means to fear Him and fear His wrath upon sin, and so part of fearing God is kind of that being afraid of sin, but also then remembering how he conquered sin with Christ's death on the cross.
We're in the Lent season, and really focusing on the personal responsibilities that we have in facing our sin. Is there comfort in knowing that other people sin too?
Maybe Absolutely. There's
is there?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah,
because
I think
we all put on a facade.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we all knew the dirty secrets of all of our lives.
Yeah.
And what's in? I mean, if you were able to read my mind, you know what you would say? I want nothing to do with that guy. I want nothing to do with him. But if I were to read your mind, you know what I would say?
Probably, I want nothing to do with you either. Yeah, yeah.
And am I saying that to comfort myself, or is there some truth to that?
I think there is some truth to that. You know, I mean, part of being in relationship with one another is the other person saying, oh, you have that too, or oh, you've struggled with that too, or oh, let's struggle through this together,
It's the old saying, misery loves company, which is one of my favorite sayings because I find it's true. We do feel better when we know we're not the only one in the ditch.
But
is everyone in the ditch? It's just a matter of how deep the ditch is. Is that what it is?
the effects of sin are widespread. They affect every single one of us.
Yeah.
And we all don't even realize how sinful we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we can, when we see a glimpse of our sin, then we should see, oh, our Savior got down into the ditch with us in order to pull us out of the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
does he do that?
Yeah, his death on the cross definitely, you know, pulls us out of the ditch, and not just us, but all those who believe in him.
Yeah, I like that, because I always had a Lutheran pastor talk about up religion and down religion. I think I've told you this before, where up religion is you have to work your way up toward heaven, where and then attain it, whereas down religion is Jesus comes down and pulls you out of the murk and brings you back up.
Yeah. The Gospel of Luke is structured so that Jesus always goes down, 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 until finally his resurrection from the dead, when there he goes up, 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 up.
Well, isn't that kind of what he did for the time when he descended into hell?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a case of down religion.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he went down into the depths as low as you could possibly go to bring these people out.
Yeah, yeah. And to proclaim his victory to Satan. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But Satan keeps fighting anyway.
He does, yeah. I picture it. Did you ever have a dog growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so chain him to a tree or something, and you give him a certain amount of leash, and he kind of runs around that tree on that leash. So even though Satan's been defeated, right now it's like he's a dog chained to a tree, and he's got a certain area that he is allowed to, you know, go around in, walk around in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then on the last day is when he's going to, no more. You got to put the dog down.
Yeah, Satan gets nuked.
Yeah.
He gets the shot, basically. Yeah. And what an interesting discussion. we've been speaking with the Reverend Brennan DeForest, Redeemer Lutheran Church. Their service time is 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. They're located over on Moss Avenue. And Lent service. How many more Wednesday services do we got? This is, of course, today's Friday.
Four, yeah. Three or four. Yeah.
And then Easter Sunday, and we're all done.
Yeah,
40 days, 40 nights. And did you give up anything for Lent?
I gave up plenty of things. Yeah,
it's private. You don't have to share, but you did. Good for you.
Sweets, TV, some social media. Trying to get up a little earlier.
I need to do that. It's too late, though. I've already blown it. I forgot all about it.
Oh.
Well, listen, Pastor, thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We sure appreciate it. We're going to be back on Monday with more Christian Talk here in Chico and beyond. Right now, though, national programming with more Christian Talk right after this commercial break. So long.
Need a word from God? Here's Through the Bible's Minute with McGee.
Anything that is contrary to the will and character of God is sin. And I don't care what it is. It could be even going to church. I think some people displease God and go into church. And imagine a little man down here says to God, I won't do it. I'm going to do it my way. And that's what little man is saying today. We want liberty. We want freedom. We're going to do it our way. My friend, you're not going to do it your way.